Pence the guy. And you go, they don't like Pence either. And he's not, you know, he doesn't do the swamp thing very readily either. But yeah, they've been talking, well, this is how we're going to do it. It isn't for them. It's for our side. It's the far left's attempt to try to take over the Democratic Party.
Trump would work with Kamala Harris as a vice president.
No, not Trump. What? What are you talking about? Am I confusing you?
Yeah.
No, no. The 25th Amendment thing. You've heard that they're trying to start forwarding this. Somebody came and they said, this is not about Trump. They're not trying to get Trump declared incompetent. They're going to try to use the 25th Amendment to get Biden declared incompetent.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
But you didn't say Biden.
I did. I was supposed to. I apologize.
That's why
it has nothing to do with Trump, apparently. Or at least that's this guy's idea. And you go, that makes a lot more sense. No, yes. There's two sides of it. I was describing both sides. I apologize. I said, do you think that Democrats really think this would be a wonderful thing to get Pence, you know, to have Pence be the president? And you go, they don't hate him as much as they hate Trump, but it's all the same difference to them. And you go, no, they're not going to vote the 25th to get rid of Trump, although they might still use it. I said, trust me, they'll slide right over and say, this is a great way to get Biden declared incompetent pretty quickly so that they can use Kamala, who, I'm sorry, there's a big section of the swamp that wants
Kamala
socialism.
If so bad, then why didn't they...
Because they couldn't get her to win. She couldn't win. There's only so much screwing around they can do without it being just obvious. I know everybody says, well, they can just control that. And you go, It says, even if they can, they're not wanting to. Because then, you know, a lot of people can speak against them. They want to win legitimately. They don't want to win by being corrupt yet. I think the time will come when they want to, when it doesn't matter to them anymore, and they'll just say, well, we're just going to be corrupt. They really want that voice of the people stuff. And it's not hard. If you keep telling people that you'll pass out goodies and you'll make things free and you'll help everybody do everything that they could be and, you know, nobody will ever starve again because we'll be passing out food. And that's really, you just have to get some people who just say, you know what, I don't care. That sounds great. Yes, I will freely give over what little liberty I even know exists to have free stuff and have the government give it to me because, you know, they say, well, it's a gift from everybody else. They really want that to be the way it comes in. Nobody wants to do the whole thing, you know, Chinese communist stuff where you fight a war and the only way you win is by conscripting everybody and forcing them all to fight and then killing off all the people that won't do what you say. Although it always falls for that. I don't know why they think some way they're going to make it so that everybody's really, really happy with this situation. You go, no, there'll be a certain proportion that's not. And you go, and to make it work, you're going to have to kill them. You're going to have to do something to them. If you can't re-educate them, they're just going to have to disappear. Sorry. Because it isn't a state of being, it's an ideology. And if you don't share the ideology, then you just can't be there. The nice thing to do is to make them leave, you know. I said, we now run things here. If you don't like it, leave. And you go, bye. We'll go make our world someplace else. But you can't do that anymore. Every place is populated, right? And if you go and you take over someplace, you're going to piss off the existing people. And that's so horrible now, right? You can't do that. And you go, well, if we can't do that, there's no place to go. So what do? He says, so we end up fighting if it gets to that point. You go, will I fight for liberty? And you go, I think I will. He says, but, he says, I am a little nervous about the fact that people will just pay lip service to it when the moment arrives. It's like, no, we really like this. You being conscripted and you doing what I say and stuff like that. He says, I'm your general. And since we had Captain Moroni, we had George Washington, these were people of just amazing character. And you go, do we have these people today? And you go, if we do, we don't know who they are. Says, I don't know. I don't know if we can make somebody the supreme commander where we put our lives into their hands and do exactly what they say. And then at some magic moment after it's won and it's all over with, we all get to go back to our happy lives. We're not still conscripted into some kind of weird army and we're told what to do.
It's okay.
Morning, Sam. Do you have to have your alarm go off in the morning? Or can you just let us beating around wake you up?
That might work.
Why don't we try that? I think that'd make Mom really happy. What do you think, Lee?
I was so dead, I didn't hear
it. She didn't hear it this morning, I did. So yeah, you can just turn off that alarm. Do you want us to just do what we normally do in the mornings and that kind of wakes you up?
Sure.
Okay.
This whole thing about the potatoes is good, except that
it was just an idea. I didn't say we need to do that.
I don't have any grass or even rake up enough dead leaves.
Oh, we just bury them.
No.
No?
Because this whole thing is that as the winter snows and the rains come, the mulch materials that you've put in there, that dead leaves or grass or whatever,
yeah,
it will decay, and as the mulch decays, warmth is generated.
Oh, yeah. We don't have that here.
And so it, the potatoes begin their growth cycle.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, then there it is.
So.
Just a thought. I didn't know, you know. They do winter wheat around here, and it's like, oh, that's interesting. Of course, you can't eat wheat, so there's no point getting involved in that. Certainly can't grow rice here. Oh my God.
So, your mother.
I have a place that Oliver goes. I don't even see that she sends me stuff anymore. Sorry. Is that too convenient? Oh, I love you, Lisa Jane. I do. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm still all about the liberty. And they go, well, the conservatives believe in liberty. And you go, they do liberty when it's convenient to their cause. It says they're just as likely to enforce force on other things. Roe versus Wade is a classic example. It says they really want to force people not to kill babies. And you go, personally, I don't have a problem with that. That's great. I said, but, says, I'm not going to kill babies, and I really want to encourage other people not to kill babies. I don't want to use legislation to force them to do it. Says, that's all. Says, am I against children being aborted? Yes, I am. Well, why aren't you on that side? And you go, because I'm against force. Says, trust me. Says, when my parents tried to force me to do things, you know, I said, they found out that that wasn't the right way to get things done around me. You know, so when my mom was trying to, you know, buy it, it was like, no, no. I don't mind doing things that need to be done. I says, but no, I'm not going to get, I says, I'm not going to get bribed. I don't like being manipulated that way. My mom was too much. She loved the manipulation. And you go, yeah, what happened to her? And you go, worked against her, didn't it? Mom would work really hard to make something happen, and then when it didn't, she would get punitive. And you go, okay. It says, I know you worked. You feel like your effort should make other people do what you think needs to be done. I said, I'm not saying that what you want to have done is a bad thing. He says, but no, your labor doesn't buy you that. Nothing buys you that.
Are you ready, Matt?
Yeah. I mean, I know I come off as a bad son for it. Oh. And it's like, well, he's trying to teach his mom a lesson. I go, I'm not trying to teach my mom anything.
Back up, change back into the couch.
We'll have to work on it. It seems to take kind of lifting up both sides, Matt, and it's kind of tricky for one person to do. If you want to make it into a couch, which I think is pretty cool. I think that's one of the cool parts about it. Now, where are you going to put your blanket and your pillows and your linens and stuff? Oh, looks like he's already taken care of that. Well, we'll do that when we get back. Anyway, yeah. Says no. I says my mom's a little goofy about this, but not. Not too far outside of what would be considered acceptable, I think. My grandmother was real manipulative, too. No, I'm just a bad guy in that I said I'm not going to have those games played with me.
I need to get my sweater.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. I am. And am I a hypocrite? Heck yeah. With my kids? Did I apply pressure? to do something? Yeah. Oh. Oh no. Can you get it out?
Yeah. God dang, I can't get the
here. We're going to some pliers with guys. You got it?
Come on. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just like fighting so long with this thing.
No. No. Darn grass.
Oh yeah, they're a pain in the butt, I tell you.
No, going to pay.
Well, they're going to pay. Well, how are you going to make that happen, Matt? And don't. Yeah, I don't think I want to know. Be happy, Matt. Tricky world already. We don't have to make it any trickier.
To harvest all this, because I know once the frost comes, it's going to destroy it all.
How does one do that? I don't think you can yet. I think you take it while it's there, and when it dies out, it dies out. Did it supposed to go to seed eventually? Go and test seed. Here comes another one. Yeah, we might very well get a lot out of it. And it may come in the last month or two.
Do they have this one? And
uh-huh.
That one?
Yeah. Wow. So yeah. As you go, you have to do it to an extent with your kids, especially if they've got troubles that need to be overcome. But yeah, it's like with my kids, once they get a job, so do I bother them? No. And I think that confuses people. Why was he so weird about you getting a job, and then all of a sudden when you had it, he didn't even, you know, he didn't get involved in stuff. That's so confusing, because he was being such an ass about this. And you go, yeah. I saw the inherent problem of our times, and the fact that our society was just kind of giving in to it and saying, oh no, if you can talk your parents into continuing to feed you and house you, you don't have to work, you don't have to do anything. And you're going, no. We're not going to have that. Yeah. And of course, they would say, well, that's not the right way to handle it. That's your child. You shouldn't be doing this, no. Because the whole point is to make your children into at least something of an adult. Yeah. Right. And I want them to continue to strive for that. I don't want them hanging around particularly. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know. Yeah, so I like visits. We have nothing to talk about, of course, but. Oh, yeah. Because all my kids have given it to me on something. Well, you're kind of hypocritical about that, Dad. And you go, well, I said, there's some things that need to happen. You're not going to get to the point to where you're the kind of person that has children who mooch off you if you're that kind of a person. Number one, you're probably not going to get married. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Kelly. Kelly's a classic example. You know, it's like...
Well,
yeah, I know. Yeah, and you go, what the heck's that? And Anna's still putting up with it. And you go, Anna's fault. Said she. she set the trend and lets it continue.
Yeah.
She pays lip service to it on occasion, but she just sits there and she talks about her grandchildren, how much she doesn't want to lose her grandchildren, or something along those lines is always kind of what people do. And you're going, so you're raising. I said, it would be something if your child died in some horrible accident and was left without parents and you took over. That's something, but you didn't do that. It says, you're just taking over. Because hoping it would happen. And it didn't. It says, because that's the times. I said, unless you stick by your guns and you're practically evil about it. This is the prevalent culture doesn't tolerate that. When your most lionized figures are beautiful celebrity types that basically make millions of dollars for, I'm sorry, doing nothing, but being beautiful in front of a camera. They're all basically models. And that's what all the kids are totally confused about. Well, I don't understand. My mom always told me how wonderful and cute and wonderful I am. And how come that isn't enough? There you go. So that's not even it. Beauty's nice, but it said this whole thing, you know, they brought up the television award thing, and guess what? We just got to the 100th year of television. Just barely. And you're going, you do realize that all these people who are like, oh my God, oh, you're so wonderful. And you think this is the way life is? It hasn't even existed for 100 years. 100 years ago, these people didn't exist. It says, an actor was a traveling vagabond. Because
yeah.
They had to go from place to place. Yeah. You know, put enough makeup on anything, it looks okay. You know, there was other attributes you had to have. You had to project and all this other stuff. Anyway, so you go, that's 3/4 of it, is the absolute worship of the celebrity. Which, yeah, most of these celebrity types, you just look at them and you go, what have you done? Oh, it was so hard, long days in front of the camera doing the same thing over and over again until we got it right. And you're going, that's not work. I said, and I understand. I said, I've done work because right now I'm in a quiet period. I'm not working much. But I realize that. Although, this thing has just popped up. It's going to be a little bit of a headache for a while. Well, I'm trying to figure out what to do about it. And you go, yeah. We have so convinced these people about their centrality and how important they are and how we hang on their every word. But music was kind of like that too. you know, and you go, what's the difference between a normal little band that just gets together and, you know, plays birthday parties, and the one that makes hundreds of millions of dollars? You know, is their music actually that much better? And you go, not really. Anyway, so and you're going, yeah. Says, is that time pretty much over? And you go, yeah. Says, let me tell you, radio is the same thing. They have not yet celebrated the 100th anniversary of radio either. I mean,
didn't we have radio before TV?
Slightly before. They're both basically the same thing. Once you have one, you kind of have the other. The only problem was you couldn't make televisions. Echo got economical much faster. It was something that people could almost immediately take advantage of. You have some tubes and a speaker. And people had a big dial upon which they could make little adjustments. And you go, which is exactly what it needed. It took television a long time to get to the point to where you could afford that. And you could have people put up with it, you know? So, anyway. Yeah, and you go, radio's the same way.
This is weird, gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you go, so how come there weren't people back in 1850 making millions of dollars off of music performance? And you go, because nobody could see you. This is music was something Uncle Bob. Yeah. And they didn't have to be very good. And everybody knew all the songs. Yeah. It was all the thing that came before a record, which came about the same time as radio and TV. All this stuff kind of happened at exactly the same time. The really marvelous time from, like, the end of the Civil War until the beginning of World War II was when all the innovation happened. We still haven't, still haven't innovated. We've just mashed things up. We've taken what we already had and found maybe different uses of them, but that's all. You know, when people say, we're making this vaccine for this virus, what's the most promising thing? The same thing they came up with in the 30s. You know, take a dead or inactive version of something, shoot it into somebody's body, the body starts reacting to kill that virus, which is already dead anyway, and that's how you keep people from getting that virus. Sometimes it lasts a long, long time, maybe your whole life. Other times it only lasts maybe a year at best. And you go, have we progressed past this? And you go, no, we haven't. They say, well, we discovered DNA later. And you go, no, we just found a way of explaining what they had already discovered back in the 30s. It's painful to say. It says, we haven't innovated at all. We haven't found anything new. And you're going, well, we've discovered everything. And you go, no, we haven't even begun. We haven't even scratched the surface. So we're just barely out of scraping along in the dirt. He says, the problem is, we've turned away from God, and God's no longer inspiring us anymore. And you go, and that's where most of this stuff came from. Ask any great inventor, ask any great person that discovered something great, and they'll basically give you a story of God showing it to them. And you go, sorry, this is, if you scientists, which I have much respect for, can't see what's just staring you in the face, it doesn't matter how many people you send to school to learn about what was happening, you know. People today go, oh, no. It's like the Jews. Yeah, all the great thoughts have already been sunk. It has nothing to do with you. Your job is to learn what they had and basically dispense what they're dispensing. Pick which party you're going to be a part of. And you go, okay. It is sad. That's because we basically rejected God. You can say, well, I don't think that was true in the 50s. And you go, oh, yes, it was. It said our absolute joy was in thing that we could do it ourselves. You know, the moonshot, all that fun stuff. He says that was all this kind of thing. Well, we got that done. Isn't that amazing? And you go, nothing new. He says, Goddard, you guys know we have a space center named after that guy. He says, Goddard was the first guy to send small rockets up into the atmosphere. Or at least the first one we know about. It's already been figured out. And, you know, either miniaturizing it or making it bigger. They said, do you remember the Soviet Union? They said, they could make the things that we were making. It was mostly stolen. They said, Russia did not have this amazing technical ability. They were just able to marshal more resources to it because they were still feeding off of the past, which is all we've been doing too. So we're just feeding off the past too. The iPhone? Well, nothing incredible about that. There's nothing to it. All the principles that are used in an iPhone were discovered back then. It was like the TV. It was there. We just couldn't figure out a way to make it, to make people rich enough that they could afford a television. That may have been the thing. I think everything was basically in place long before. Back in the 20s was when they said, well, we got this radio thing. We can transmit stuff. Picture's no different. We just need to figure out how to chop up a picture into little bitty pieces so that we can send it over by radio too. It says it was done. It was easy. It just cost too much. And to indicate how stupid we tend to be, we use the internet transmit this stuff now. That's absolutely stupid. That is a technological step backwards. Oh my gosh. It's almost painful. I wish I could come up with an analog that made sense to people that weren't very technical. And you go, but yeah. Well, anybody, you know? Sure. It's like using a transporter, a Star Trek transporter, to take a shower. Water your lawn using a transporter. And you go, can you do it? And you go, yeah. If everybody has a transporter, you know, that's one of the things you could kind of do with it, sort of. yeah, you can do it. But it's like, wouldn't it be easier just to get a hose? No, we've got a transporter now. I pay a lot of money for that transporter. I'm going to use the water my lawn. It's like, okay, whatever. And you're going, why couldn't we come up with a better way to do things like television? We could. There are other possibilities, but it's like, you know, it's good enough. We haven't replaced Unix with something else. Why? Because it can do it. Is it kludgy? Is it the best way to do it? And you go, oh, no, certainly not. And you go, but you know what? There's no point. There's no money to be made. That's the big thing. There's no money to be made by trying to come up with a replacement. You have to talk people into doing things a different way. And they don't care. They go, we've got what we want. Our little application runs. It runs fast enough. They're always putting out new processors that are faster. Actually, that's not true anymore. We actually haven't put out a faster processor in probably about 10 years. Now we've been doubling and tripling them up. Your regular computer now has 2, 4, 8, 16 processors running in it. You don't have to make it go faster because it's got 6. And you're going, so what kind of innovation is that? And you go, not really that much. You know, see, we don't even innovate there anymore. Ta-da! Unnecessary. Anyway, so that's what it comes down to. I think the biggest thing we're going to have to get past in the world to come is our almost mindless drive just to make a profit. Most of our legislation, most of our modern legislation is about closing the big companies who have lots of clout with government, continually tell government, you put this law in, and you go, well, yeah, sure, I don't understand what they're supposed to do, and you go, don't worry, it's not a bad thing, but here's the rub, I can keep that rule, but my smaller competitors can't afford to, therefore, they go out of business, or I can buy them up, or whatever, you know, however I choose to solve my problem. Big problem about liberty. Still the liberty problem. This is, that's all Congress really does anymore. It's a big mill to curry favor and money and power, and that's it. These guys don't even know what's going on. Look at Joe Biden. Ask him a question about anything that he voted for. He doesn't have a clue about it. I think Donald Trump didn't know what was going on. Didn't know how to handle pandemics, so he said, well, let's listen to the experts. And then he found out the experts were just as corrupt as anybody else was. But he doesn't want to look like an idiot. And I don't think it would be a problem for me to say, you know what, I don't know about this stuff. So I trusted the experts, and I found out that the experts were just as liable to be, yeah. Anybody who's been advanced to a government position got there by basically thwarting the interest of whatever. I remember it was at the last time, 2016. Trump basically came up with his whole swamp thing at a debate. That was the first time you ever heard any such thing. Anybody's talking that way. And you're going, so I want to watch debates with Trump because he's going to bring it up. He's going to start bringing up the fact. I said, I was duped. I trusted who were supposed to be experts. I said, and they don't know what they're doing. I said, and their biggest way to make decisions is to wet their finger, put it up in the air, and see what the conditions are. And who's willing to pay them? Him? Who appointed him to that? Well, what was Trump supposed to do? He doesn't know. Well, he's wanted to. He's wanting to. He's already expressed a few times that he would just as soon get rid of all these people. But I guess he's not in a position where he can actually do it. There's only certain positions he can try to clean up. And the problem is, everybody he's got is a swamp dweller. There's only a few people he has that aren't, you know, that aren't basically working against him. Does Fauci want Trump to disappear? Heck yeah. Can't believe on all this stuff. Everybody wants to know what Fauci is. You go, Fauci's nobody. Fauci doesn't even skew scientists anymore. Says he's a bureaucrat. Why are you listening to him? I put more trust in your local country doc than in him. He hasn't practiced servant. You go, you know, I don't even know if that's a good thing anymore. He says, I used to be a public servant. I didn't like what I was being asked to do. And I'm glad I got out of it. I'm glad the opportunity came. And I walked away. Came back one time and said, well, I don't have a job. Did some work for it. But then I was the first one to say, I don't want to do the job I'm doing. I don't believe in any of this. Okay. Every once in a while I'll say, you know, the whole thing about going back and working for the extension office, and you go, why do I want to be a person that has no independence whatsoever and that simply does what they're told? And is basically only evaluated by how well they indoctrinate other people. And you go, sorry. And you're not going to pay me much to do it. And it's like, good. It made my decision really easy. I don't want to put Lisa through losing money again. You had quite enough of that. You're not paying me more than I make now. They don't even talk yet. Straight across. Oh, okay. I'm gonna go this way. Thank you. Howdy, howdy. But you spend more time in this space than I do.
Aye.
Hey, Sam. Oh.
Is your belly really that sensitive?
No. No, it's not.